Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Claire Lopez, senior national security expert, regarded very highly in Washington and elsewhere around not just the country, but the world for her expertise on matters involving intelligence, Iran, the Islamist and global jihad, among many, many other subjects. She formerly served for 20 years in the clandestine intelligence services of the United States government with the CIA. She has gone on to a number of other positions, including, I'm very pleased to say, today, the Vice President for Research and Analysis at our Center for Security Policy. And Claire, again, welcome to you. We've been visiting about having compromises of our security, whether it's Hillary Clinton's email sort of management program, whether it's one of the people who apparently was intimately involved in that as her deputy chief of staff, Huma Abedin, who you've described as having long ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. We're sort of touching on the problem of having others with Muslim Brotherhood associations or at least affinities in either paid positions in the United States government under Barack Obama or advisory roles. How troubling a problem is this in your professional judgment in terms of not just the possibility of influence, but the actual practice of it beyond what you've described a moment ago in terms of Egypt? Is this something that has gotten us into trouble more broadly in terms of our understanding of, our characterization of, and our response to the global jihad movement?
Yes, absolutely. I do think so. The switch in American foreign policy under this president of Barack Obama, his tenure since 2009, has been startling and striking, not just to observers like us, but to our friends and allies around the world, and in particular in the Middle East, where it seems to them and to many that the United States very deliberately is withdrawing power and influence, certainly our military presence from places like Iraq and Afghanistan, but then very deliberately as well ceding those places and the power and influence in those places across North Africa, in the Middle East, the heartland, the Persian Gulf region, to the forces of Islamic Jihad, because obviously a power vacuum doesn't last. And certainly across North Africa, we saw a deliberate withdrawal of American support for former partners and allies from Tunisia, Ben Ali there, from Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, and certainly Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. And then in the Middle East heartland region of the Persian Gulf, there also seems to be a very deliberate policy of permitting or even empowering, actively empowering Iranian hegemony to fulfill in behind us as we withdraw our support and backing, certainly for Israel and other states, Sunni states, which are quite alarmed at the rise to power of Iran and certainly the possibility that Iran soon could field deliverable nuclear weapons. So all of that policy change has occurred under this president. The trends, perhaps one can say, began earlier, certainly, but it accelerated under this president. And both domestically and abroad, it's been notable that this presidency has reached out actively to embrace the Muslim Brotherhood as advisors and appointees, as we said before, in his own administration here at home, and then to help them to power, literally to help them to power, running guns to Al-Qaeda under a Muslim Brotherhood rebellion in Libya, withdrawing our support from Mubarak and throwing our support behind the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. It's absolutely been striking and deeply, deeply negative an influence on American national security as well as that of our friends and allies in the region.
I can't agree with you more. We'll come back to Iran in the last block because there's a lot there to talk about, as you know so well. But just staying with the Muslim Brotherhood and sort of attitudes that seem to be shifting in allied capitals, including some in the Middle East, but also some closer to our country. Talk, if you would, Claire, about the designation of the Brotherhood as a terrorist organization by the United Arab Emirates, by Egypt, and apparently the growing unease of the Harper government in Canada about the fact that some of the people that it has been taking guidance from and otherwise doing outreach to are, in fact, Muslim brothers in our neighbor to the north.
Yes, certainly. Well, let's begin with Canada then. And as we know, the Muslim Brotherhood has been just about as active in our neighbor to the north as it has been in our own country, although I would suggest that perhaps the infiltration of the government bureaucracy there is not quite as extensive as it is here in the United States in Washington, D.C. However, the alarm is certainly rising, and thanks to a very strong prime minister in Canada, Stephen Harper, and a good solid cabinet of ministers that he has around him, they are taking a note and taking action against the Brotherhood there in ways that our administration hasn't even begun to do. But moving over then to the Middle East region, yes, last year, that is in 2014, we saw that the United Arab Emirates declared the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. So did Saudi Arabia and, of course, Egypt, where General, now President al-Sisi, is in the struggle of his life to keep his regime in power against the very powerful forces of the Brotherhood in Egypt. And I do look at it more in the way, both in all of these countries, UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt, as a power struggle between those who hold power in those regimes and the Brotherhood, which would is attempting to infiltrate and eventually perhaps even overthrow those regimes.
Including through the democratic process, if they can, as we saw in Egypt, but it's one man, one vote, one time is pretty clearly their formula, isn't it?
I don't see the enmity between these regimes and the Brotherhood as anything really fundamentally to do with Islam or the ideology of jihad and Sharia. On those things, they're all in agreement, I think. It's rather a power struggle about who gets to be in power, who gets to hold power. And as we see now in places like Saudi Arabia, which had initially come out against the Brotherhood, at least sort of superficially, now that the alarm level is rising, not just there but across the Gulf states, with the advance of the Islamic State and the apparent American capitulation to Iranian hegemony in the region, and even to the concept of Iran getting a deliverable nuclear weapon, the Muslim Brotherhood is taking decidedly a back seat to those alarms, and we see Saudi Arabia backing off of some of its earlier concerns with the Brotherhood, and I think that probably demonstrates it's a hierarchy of concerns, and it's about who gets to be in power.
Well, and also the possibility that if it is, in fact, one of these alternatives who, as you say, Claire Lopez, explicitly share the agenda of the Muslim Brotherhood and the agenda of the Islamic State, which is to impose this doctrine of Sharia worldwide, they are concerned that the royal family of Saudi Arabia or that of, you know, the United Arab Emirates or perhaps even Qatar would find themselves at the wrong end of a blade, I think it's fair to say. So this is personal as well as about power, I think there's no question, and not something on which there's a fundamental difference about the ends that these groups are all seeking. Claire Lopez is our guest. We are visiting with her for a full hour talking about these various forces at work in shaping our security at the moment, notably those that have been brought to bear by Islamists of various stripes, sometimes, it appears, with the connivance or, in some cases, perhaps even the active support of our own government. We're going to talk more about this in the context of Iran, the deal being cooked up now with President Obama, and the likelihood that the bomb is going to be in Iranian hands in short order, what that might mean for you. That and more with Claire Lopez from the Center for Security Policy, straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.